afternoon. Hi. Thanks for being here at Ignite, and especially maybe at this session. My name is Wim Goetz. I'm a product marketing manager for Office 365, and look specifically after our data center strategy. I'm joined here today by Vijay.
Yeah, I'm Vijay Kumar. I'm a principal product manager for Office 365 in engineering. I am part of the Office 365 geo expansion team, and our team manages expanding our local data centers to various regions of the world. And we're also responsible for Office 365 Germany.
Great. Before we get started, I'd like to point out that Office 365 Germany has not been released yet. So some of the information we share might still change, not substantially maybe, as it's pointed out on the slide, but might slightly change before we actually release early in 2017. We'll actually first start with a preview that's starting this month or next month in October. Now, Office 365 Germany is really a core part of our data center strategy. It's one of our 13 data center regions that we have across the world. And each of those, or most of those data center regions at least, they offer core customer data residency and also business continuity services. That means that in case of failover or disaster recovery, that your data would also remain within that region. Now, I'll tell you even more, because out of those 13, there's three special ones, three unique ones, three that we call sovereign regions. And Germany is one of those three. In those regions, we're actually going one step beyond what we usually do, and we're adding an additional layer of data security and control on top of the already highly secure productivity services that we offer across the world. So that's also the topic of the day, and we'll dive deep into the Microsoft Cloud Germany and how it compares to those global regions. What is exactly the difference? So that will also help you decide if you want to go for Europe or if you want to go for the German data center. So that's really a choice that we'll have. If you're more interested in the global data center regions and what the value is of data centers and data center regions for you as a customer or maybe for your customers, well, in that case, there's a session tomorrow in which we will cover our data center strategy. So I'll definitely invite you for that one. In this one, we'll really go into Microsoft Cloud Germany specifically.
Yeah, just a couple of additional points to mention. The data centers in Germany are in two locations, Frankfurt and Magdeburg, I guess is another city. And all the instances for Office 365 are redundant between those two. Like, for example, Exchange, we keep four active copies of data between these two data centers. And none of this is replicated outside of Germany. Everything stays in Germany. All the customer, core customer data also stays in Germany.
Yeah, thanks, Vijay. So when we look at Microsoft Cloud Germany, really, what you can imagine or what you can think of it is really a separate copy or a separate instance of the Microsoft Cloud that we have set in Germany. So it's not just Office 365. It's also Azure, which recently launched. And it will also be Dynamics RM or Dynamics as a whole later in 2017. So it's a real instance of the Microsoft Cloud. Now, there's four key features with that instance. And the first is that you really get the commitment to store all customer data within those German data centers and thus in German borders. We talk here really about data at rest because we don't have full control, of course, of data in transit. When a user is connecting to Office 365 services, he's probably using the internet till he connects to the Microsoft Cloud network. Well, that public part is something which we cannot control. So if your ISP is routing you around the world before going into Germany, that's something that we really cannot control. We can work with ISPs to make that better, but that's something which we don't control. So it's really about data at rest. A second part of it is that those German data centers are really connected through a dedicated network. They are not part of our global cloud network that we have deployed across the world. We actually have one of the top three networks in the world. In Germany, we're kind of isolating that network between those German data centers to make sure we can live up to our commitments. A third one is really looking at compliance. We want to continue to be the leader there, and we'll also make sure that we meet all applicable compliance and certification requirements in Germany. As a final, and maybe the fourth key feature, but also a very important one, and really one which is differentiating this environment from any other, is that we added a third party into the mix. We call this third party a data trustee because of what the data trustee is doing for us and for all of you when you're using Office 365 Germany. So what the data trustee will do is control all access to customer data, physically and logically, but also, for example, servers that contain customer data. So at no point Microsoft can have access to that customer data without the data trustee being there and controlling or auditing what we're doing. And we'll actually dive a little deeper into what they do, how they do it, what the process is. But that's kind of one of the key differentiating factors when you look at the Microsoft Cloud Germany. It's isolated in Germany, dedicated network, and you have this additional layer of a data trustee which is controlling all access to customer data. So that's kind of key in the entire setting. And we'll go a bit more into detail there. When we look at services, though, the goal is really to have feature parity between the Microsoft Cloud Germany and the other services when you look at the global regions that we have, for example, in Europe or any of the 12 others. Now, because of the additional work that we need to do, the security, the isolated nature of the Cloud Germany, it's possible that some of the services will only come after GA. So when we GA early 2017, some of the services won't be there yet. However, if you look at the list of the things that will be there, that we're planning to certainly have there at launch, you'll see that those are the very high percentage of the services that customers and you guys are actually using. Did you want to add something?
Sure. So the very important thing to point out here is the...
You want to start dancing, right?
That's good. Make it interesting. The services, the software, the features, the services that we offer in Germany are exactly the same as we have in the worldwide Office 365. There is no difference. There is no special versioning. There is no special software or anything like that. It's the same features teams that work on the worldwide Office 365 features and functionality are the ones that are working on this as well. So we deploy once, and we deploy it to all of these locations. The only thing, as Wim pointed out, was for additional data protections for certain features that we're still working on, will be deployed a little bit later. But all of the main ones that you see at the top here, Office Pro Plus, Exchange, SharePoint, Skype for Business, etc. All of these things will be the same version as Worldwide Office 365. So that's a really key consideration. So the German customers will not see any downgraded or upgraded version of Office 365 or anything like that. The key difference is the data protection that we have for German customers.
Thanks. Now, you might wonder, why are we doing this? Why are we not doing one of the global regions? And this is really not like an educated decision. It's not something we did like over one night. When we look at the requirements that German customers have, we saw that 90% of those customers actually saying that the four like important things for going to the cloud are data security, compliancy, data residency, and then also, of course, the reliability of the cloud. Now, when we look at those, we kind of match already the strict regulations that are set by the European Union. When we dive a little deeper and we look at German specifically, we heard that there were lots of local requirements that are even implemented at a state level at some points that have additional requirements that we couldn't really realize without adding something like the data trustee model. Now, I want to point out that even though we were looking mainly at the German market and the goal was really to unblock a certain market to enable and to empower them to use our cloud and take advantage of our cloud productivity services, that it's not just available for German customers. Microsoft Cloud Germany will actually be available to all customers in the European Union or the European Free Trade Zone. So that really becomes a choice as of now or as the time that we release if you want to go for the global region or if you'd like to go for Office 365 Germany. Now, that choice is an important decision, and we'll also go into more detail on when we make that choice, what are the factors that we need to look at. There's a few additional challenges that are introduced because of like the advantages that you're getting of the data trustee, the isolated cloud, and those kind of things. Okay. So let's take a look at that decision guide. What are the elements that we need to look at? And we look mainly at three elements, three domains: users, partners, and location of customer data. We'll cover each and one of them. Now, if you look at users, it's really about where are those users located? Where are they sitting? Are they all centralized in Europe? Or are they globally distributed across the world? When we look at partners, partners is really something that you can look at a very broad level. This could be your internal partners in the sense of a department or maybe a subsidiary sitting in another country. Or this could also be external partners. Imagine you're a professional services organization, you develop websites, and you partner with like a design studio that makes a design for those websites. That collaboration, if you do that, support that by like Office 365, there are certain collaboration challenges that we need to look at. And then the final one is the German data, where are you permitted to store that data? Could it just be anywhere? Or are you really in a highly regulated market that requires data address to be in Germany? And sometimes that's just a perception, but still for you that might be a requirement. Let's see at users first. Now, why is this question so important? Why do we need to look at where most of those users are located? Well, if we think back about Office 365, we really have this global service that we deliver on top of a network, the top three network I mentioned earlier, which is taking advantage of that network as well. I'll give you one example. As a customer, for example, if you're a customer in Europe, but you're traveling to the US like you're doing this week, some of you might be like, maybe we should ask that question.
Yeah.
Like, who's from Germany? For you. Who's from Europe? Like, the Germans as well, of course. From the US? Or any place else? Rest of the world, as we sometimes call it. And it's like, I don't mean that in a bad way. Okay, great. So looking at that and looking at your customers and where they are and where they're working, if you're traveling from Europe to the US and you're connecting to our services, what you're actually doing, for example, for Exchange, is you're connecting to our network first. You're connecting to the closest data center that we have. And then we're traveling you over our hyperscale network, which has plenty of bandwidth available, to Europe. So you're taking advantage of that. As soon as you look at Germany, because it's an isolated network, imagine that you have users in the US. That connection to Germany is something that you will have to take care of. Of course, you can simply use the public network for that, the internet, but that might not be as reliable as you hope. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But as soon as you have like performance issues, that's something that you will need to troubleshoot or that your customer will need to troubleshoot. What's the network connectivity that I have into Germany? Because that network is really separated from our global cloud network. So that might mean that you have extra work ensuring maybe that you implement some kind of dedicated connection into Germany, making sure that you have the reliability that you expect from your connection as well, depending on where those users are. If they're all in Germany and centralized in Europe, then that's not really an issue. That's not really something you need to look at, because connectivity is very good there. But even then, you might troubleshoot your network if you have issues, of course. Okay, one other thing which is important there is the support. In Germany, you'll be getting 24 support out of Germany in German and English. Imagine that you have a distributed workforce in multiple languages across the world. Well, in that case, you can also get 24/7 support, but it will be in German or English. If you look at the global cloud, your support, which is also 24/7, is available in more than 15 languages. I think 17, sure. Okay. There's one more thing that I wanted to mention, by the way, on the support in Germany. The support people in Germany will also be screened against the SU1 certificate, which allows them, it's kind of a certification in Germany, which allows them to handle classified information. That's important for some. Second factor is partner location. So who do you work with and how do you collaborate with them? If you look at the design we've set up for Germany, the isolated nature, dedicated network, the additional levels of control via the data trustee, there's a few challenges that are imposed when you want to work beyond those borders, if you want to really want to cross those borders. And that's something that we need to look at a deeper level. Although most of the scenarios will actually be supported, even if it's Office 365 Germany to hybrid, so an on-premise environment, or if your partner is actually on Office 365 in one of the global regions, most of the scenarios actually supported. But there's a few of them which today still have limitations, and we'll look at those. Another limiting, or not really limiting, but a factor that you need to keep into mind is the timing of future possibilities. As Microsoft, we're really looking into how can we help multinational customers? How can one tenant span multiple regions instead of just one like it is today? If we work on that, that's going to first come to the global regions, and then we'll have to do the additional work to make that available to Germany. Again, the challenge for us there will be how do we do it while still adhering to the commitments we make of all data needs to remain in Germany, dedicated network in Germany, isolated from global network, and so on. So that's why that will typically take a bit longer, but we'll certainly analyze the possibilities there.
Okay. Thanks, Wim. Now, I'll try to really encourage you to go to Germany. Wim was trying to...
I was not discouraged.
Just kidding. So just before I get into this slide, we put together these scenarios based on a number of customers that were asking us a whole lot of questions about what's going to work and what's not going to work, tell us the differences and things like that. So let me preface this with a little bit of an architectural, like picture the architectural diagram here. The worldwide global network, we have one global Azure Active Directory. You must be all familiar with Active Directory or even Azure Active Directory, which is our cloud version of the Active Directory that Office 365 and other services use. So the global version of Azure Active Directory, which has several replicas across the world, it is pretty much they talk to each other and they have kind of one version of the directory data. For example, if your users are in the US, your users in Ireland, or wherever they are around the world, they're all in a single set of directories. So the collaboration is easier between tenants or within tenant and things of that nature. With Germany, what we did was to give the additional data residency and data protection for the German customers, we actually built a separate instance of Azure Active Directory within Germany. So everything is contained within Germany. The Azure Active Directory, all of the components of Office 365, they're all built specifically in Germany. So what this also means that the Azure Active Directory in Germany does not is not exposed to the worldwide global Azure Active Directory and vice versa. So this gives our first priority for German customers, which is complete data protection, data isolation, so that nobody else from outside are able to actually see the users or see the data and things of that nature. Now, what this also gives us, poses a challenge is, how can we enable collaboration? You know, Germany has a lot of multinationals. Most of the companies in Germany have subsidiaries outside the country, or they work with partners and customers outside of Germany, or they have subsidiaries outside of Germany. So how do we enable the collaboration scenarios? This is really the challenge. So the way we went about the design was, let's give full data protection first, which is our first promise, and then we'll start enabling key collaboration scenarios. And from looking at all of the customer priorities, we put together a set of scenarios. And think of the columns as the models, the collaboration between an Office 365 tenant in Germany and then various different combinations, which is one is on-premises hybrid. Think of a company, German company like, Daimler or Deutsche Telekom, that has an on-premises Active Directory and Exchange and SharePoint and everything else, and they're going to the cloud, to Office 365, and they want a hybrid deployment. The second column is, how does Office 365 tenant work with a separate on-premises deployment? Say Daimler working with a partner, or a Deutsche Telekom working with somebody external. And the third one is two different companies within Germany trying to collaborate with each other. They're both in Office 365 Germany. And the fourth model is, Office 365 customer in Office 365 Germany trying to work with a work with an Office 365 tenant outside Germany, let's say in the US. So these are the four models. And when we looked at all of the scenarios, the key scenarios are all supported. So basic scenarios like sending and receiving emails, being able to look at free busy when you're booking, you know, calendar appointments and things of that nature. We've gone through some workarounds and things like that to enable some of these collaboration scenarios, Skype, instant messaging, calling, peer-to-peer calling, and things of that nature. That is enabled. Document sharing enabled to some extent. The only scenario that we don't support yet at this point of time is between Office 365 Germany and an Office 365 tenant that is outside of Germany because of the things that I mentioned. And we're working to make sure that we take necessary measures to not to violate any data protection or data residency issues while we enable that. And then, of course, distribution groups and rights management, which is basically you rights protect a document or an email and send it over to another partner. So those are the scenarios that have two pluses in this table are the ones that we're working on to make it available after, once we go general availability early FY17. But all the other scenarios are collaboration scenarios are available. But the one ask of you is, if there's anything that you think is important to you or your customers, let us know and we'll work on them on priority. Yeah, if you have a couple of questions, do we want to take them now or do you want to wait?
Yeah, let's take them.
Yeah.
Calendar year.
Calendar year 17. Mm-hmm. I stand corrected. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ours.
Yes. Which is what? Real-time collaboration. Yeah, absolutely. So the third row that you see here, instant messaging, that is Skype. Oh, you mean like a real-time collaboration or real-time co-authoring? That we haven't enabled on day one. That is coming after GA. That I will add it to the list as well. Yeah. That's a good question.
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, we'll make a note. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So, as far as I understand, and Vim, correct me if I'm wrong. I'll repeat the question. So what about Fast Track? We have something called a Fast Track service where engineering team took on the responsibility of moving customers from on-premises to the cloud, to Office 365. So basically, how does that work in this German context? So that is the question. So from what I know, we have the same Fast Track program available for the German customers as well. Anything over 150 seats and above, we will help migration from on-premises to Office 365. Got it. It's about migration is what you're talking about. Okay, I think there are two questions. Let me tease them apart a little bit. And then the first question is, when we are doing migration from on-premises to Office 365 Germany, whether we are using Fast Track program or otherwise, everything will be in Germany. Like if it's on-premises, we move it to German data centers, we use Azure Storage as a service, we'll do all of that within the German context, we'll not violate any laws. Even in the case of India local data center and other local data centers, we are trying to do it within the region. And in very remote cases where we may not have Azure Storage as a service in the region, we're trying to do different things. But in Germany, we're going to do everything within Germany. That is one. The second question that you asked was, what happens to the multinationals if they have data in Office 365 tenants outside of Germany? Today, we do not support migration of that data to Office 365 tenant in Germany. Like, well, we are encouraging customers that are not in Office 365 to go to Office 365 Germany, and the customers that are outside stay where they are. So that's a more complicated question. They would have to use either a partner-supported model or something like that. So the idea here is, if you're okay with the data protection outside of Germany, where we have all kinds of, you know, security, compliance, and everything else, the only thing we don't have is the isolation of data within Germany. So if you're okay with a multinational cloud, it comes with its own pros. All the collaboration scenarios are enabled day one and things like that, you should stay there. But if you're not, if you're waiting for our German data centers to move to the German cloud, then this is the right one for you. Anything to add?
No, so we won't have any kind of Microsoft managed programs to move as soon as Microsoft Germany comes online. So that's the question. And that's something that you'll have to do manually or through the partners or whatsoever.
Okay.
Okay. So next topic is really around customer data location, so where you're really legally permitted to store your customer data. And we'll also go into the details like, how is this working? What's the data trustee doing? When do they have access? How does it work when there's escalations or incidents where they need Microsoft? So we'll dive into those in a minute. So the main thing here is that we have introduced this model with a data trustee. And a data trustee, and we haven't really highlighted that yet, the data trustee is a German company. So because of that, you'll also see that requests for data, also external requests, will have to be redirected to that third party, to that data trustee. So that means that they will only like share that data with third parties if they are required by the customer or if they're required so by German law. That's kind of one of the key differences where lots of customers think this is an important element in the entire model and why we introduced it. You want to go into some of the details?
Yeah, sure. So basically, the way we have an access control system that we use, in the Office 365 Global Service. Basically, it's, you know, you must have heard of words like lockbox and customer lockbox and things like that. I think we have some detailed slides.
Yes.
If time permits, we can walk through them. But we have a very strict access control measures where anytime we need to do a deployment from Microsoft or from an on-call engineer that is supporting a customer issue needs to log into the servers and work on them or what have you, they have to go through this access control measure to get multiple levels of approval to get into the production environment and fix them. But in case of Germany, what happens is we have this data trustee, a German company that is kind of managing the data centers both physically and logically. So anytime any of us have to log into anything to troubleshoot or what have you, or even to deploy stuff, we have to go through the data trustee. We have to give them what it is that we're doing. They have to approve it, and they will monitor it, and they'll audit everything that we're doing. And then once they do that, only then we'll be able to access anything in the German data centers. And all of this audit trail is there for the customers to see, so that we're not inadvertently bypassing any of these measures or anything like that. But in case of Office 365 Global, what happens is we have a little bit more leeway in terms of Microsoft. We still have all of the access control, strict access control measures that we have, but we don't have anybody that we need to go through. We own and manage and maintain all of our data centers physically and logically, and we do it on our own. That is really the important question. Anytime anybody worries about, okay, who's accessing my data, they have to go through the data trustee. The data trustee, which is a German company, will be responsible, and they abide by the German laws and things like that to make sure that there is no unauthorized access to the data centers, or even authorized access is well monitored. And that's really the key thing. But in case of global cloud, we have the security measures, we have the privacy and control measures, the compliance, the deep compliance that we have, transparency and everything else. If for a customer, it's not a concern that I'm not really concerned, super concerned about this kind of access, then Office 365 Global Cloud is the right one.
Yep. I think it's important to not forget that also in our global environment, Microsoft never has standing access to your customer data. So this also needs to go through really secure processes before we access or we can access customer data. And we need your approval for that. So Vijay mentioned logbox and customer logbox, and those things are really already adding additional layers if you want to have more control over that. But what Germany is doing is really adding one extra layer on top of that.
Yeah, and then I think this slide goes into a little bit more detail about where the customer data resides and how we operate and things of that nature. So really, the data centers are in Germany, as we mentioned, with access controlled by the German Data Trustee. Operations center, the ops center, is also located in Germany. I think we have two ops centers that are located in Germany, where the German Data Trustee is working on these data centers. And as Wim mentioned, there's a dedicated network, so there's no connection to the between the data centers. Because there's no connection to the Microsoft Global Cloud, so there's no inadvertent leaking of data or any of that nature. And then, of course, everything is all access is controlled. The picture really depicts what it is that we're trying to say here. So I won't belabor all the details. We don't have too much time. So let me go to the next slide, where we talk about we'll talk a little bit more about the access control. We still have the role-based access control measures that we use in our Office 365 Global Global Service. So basically, only those people that have certain roles that can access certain, like for example, somebody that is working on an Exchange service only has access to the Exchange data. Somebody who's working on a particular mailbox tools will only have access to that. They won't have access to SharePoint. They won't have access to Skype and things of that nature. So that level of roles are well defined within Microsoft. And then also, Microsoft employees that can access the production servers that where customer data may be exposed, they go through detailed background checks, screening processes, and things like that. Only those roles have access to customer data. And even the tools that actually access, let's say I'm trying to move some load balancing, move a few mailboxes from one set of servers to another, where we use tools, we don't actually do it manually. Even those tools are based on certain roles. Like even there, we control access. Right. The second thing is, I think Wim mentioned it in passing. Microsoft personnel do not have any standing access to customer data, which means when everything is working fine, nobody has access to customer data. Customer data is completely protected. In rare cases where we have to log in to troubleshoot something, that's when we go through the approval process of multiple levels of approval within Microsoft, and then Data Trustee, and then only access the servers that have customer data. Further, we cannot grant ourselves access. Like you may think there is some super admin sitting somewhere that can kind of give access to somebody to access customer data. No, that is not possible. That we have disabled, right? So those are some of the key things to mention. I'm conscious of my time too here, so we'll have some time for questions. So really, if you net it all out, there are only two conditions where Microsoft can access customer data, right? One, a German data trustee access grants temporary access with good reason to resolve a customer support problem. Let's say a customer calls and says, my mailbox is corrupted. Then we have to go through and take a look at it. And that's when data trustee comes into the picture, and then they will say, okay, this is a legitimate request. This is based on a support request from a customer. So let me let you grant access, right? Those are the kinds of instances where we can access customer data. Further, you must have heard of something called customer lockbox. That's another measure that we have that we are bringing to Office 365 Germany as well. So for customers that do opt for customer lockbox, in addition to the data trustee, we also ask for the customer to approve a request to access access, in this case, mailbox, in the example that I mentioned, where we actually go to the customer and they say, is this a legitimate request? Are you okay with us working on this particular mailbox? And then they allow access, and only then we access it, and the audit trail is kept so that, you know, you can go back and review it and things like that. Okay? So there's really a detailed workflow of how we, you know, how we access systems to work on customer data of any of that, if necessary. So basically, Microsoft makes a request based on a specific need. The data trustee verifies the request that it is for the permitted purpose. He gives temporary access. When I say temporary access, let me give you an example. Normally, we have a default four-hour access, right? 4 hour, automatically the access gets revoked, right? But the data trustee can come in and revoke access anytime in that four-hour period. If we don't finish the operation within 4 hours, then we have to go back and make the request again, right? So that is that kind of limited nature to this access. And every one of these activities are logged and monitored, right? Once we complete the task, let's say I complete the task in half an hour, the access is terminated. Then I have to, if I need access again, I have to go through the process all over again. So this is the kind of control that we have to access. The reason we are belaboring so much on access is this is the key difference. I don't know, I haven't heard the most famous question that we usually get, but this is the most, this is the key differentiator between the Office 365 German Cloud and Office 365 Global, where every access to the data center, logical, physical, what have you, goes through the German company where they have to actually review it and approve it. And this German company is governed by the German laws and not by laws of any other country. Okay. I have a few more slides here about automated access. Generally, you know, we've been talking a lot about access. We actually need to access manually, need to access the servers or in the production environment or customer data or things like that in extremely, extremely rare circumstances. Most of the things are done automatically. Like all of our deployment goes through like an assembly line. Somebody, you know, once we check in code, everything is automated. Everything is deployed to the servers in an automated fashion, so nobody has to log into those servers and things of that nature, right? Even those things are actually subject to the German data trustee review and approval. So basically, you could consider 99% of all access is automated. Maybe a small percentage of you know, access that is required for manual will go through the data trustee as well. So that's about, you know, automated access, and of course the manual access, we have the workflow here as well. And this is the lockbox system in the escort model that I talked about. Basically, lockbox system is the one that kind of governs the multiple levels of approval. In addition to that, as I mentioned, we are bringing customer lockbox, which is pretty popular in the Office 365 Global Service to German Cloud as well, where there is an additional customer approval as well. And then we also have an escort model where, you know, even when there is an engineer that is granted temporary access, the German data trustee is actually monitoring what it is that we are doing and then getting all the logs and auditing them and things of that nature. Okay? So that is the lockbox system where, you know, we go through the different levels of access and levels of access requests and approval. And the next one is the escort model. So I'm conscious of time. We have about 6 minutes left. So do we want to break for questions or
do you want to wrap up? I think we're kind of done with the data and how access to data is kind of going through the different processes, and we have the different models as we can see. When we're looking at all those models, we saw the logbox system. We're seeing the escort model, like when we need really escort, when we're going to the servers and someone needs to verify what we're really doing there. Now, maybe one last thing, and we mentioned this, is like when we get external demands for customer data, and this is what I meant when I was talking about, hey, this data trustee, it's no longer Microsoft, the US corporation, but it's really a German company, which is under German law. So when there are demands, this is actually going through them and through, of course, your customers. They will redirect that. And you'll actually also have a contractual commitment with them that they really will adhere to that promise. So that's kind of a key differentiator when you look at the Maxif Cloud in Germany. So the summary is really, I think we've mentioned it a few times, and maybe I'm not sure if we can repeat it too much or if, like whatever. But you know by now that data centers are in Germany. Data residency, all the customer data will be in Germany, and access control is completely managed and monitored by the data trustee model, which is under German law. Now, looking at those different items, I think that if you come together, basically, and look at what is the choice I need to make now, and we think back about those three elements, like users, partners, and the data, where am I permitted to store it, is really a balance that you need to make for each of those questions. Like, where are my users? Are they all centralized in Europe? Okay, you're fine maybe for Germany, but I could maybe go Europe as well. Where are my partners? Are they all Germany? Okay, you could stay on the left side as well. But then it comes to the key question, it's about customer data. Now, if you're, for example, a public sector organization in Germany, you're likely to stay in the entire left column because you have your users there, your partners are there, you have your requirement to store your data in Germany. If you're a multinational, you'll probably start out on the right side of the column where you say, okay, my users are distributed, my partners are distributed, where do I need to store my data? It's possible that you might say, well, actually, I have a certain sub or a certain department that actually requires a data address well in Germany. So that's a difficult considerations you need to make. So it's really each time the balance that you need to make. If you think by the end of the three questions that you end up in Germany, there's a few additional considerations that you need to take into account. First of all, it's pricing. The incremental value that you're getting in Germany because of the isolated network, data residency completely in Germany, unique model with the data trustee, support completely in Germany, 24/7 in German and English. All these elements kind of contribute to a higher price. So you will see that for the Maxif Cloud Germany, and specifically Office 365 Germany, we'll have a 25% higher price than the other regions. The second thing to consider is future needs. This is an important decision. The question came up earlier, how can I migrate from Office 365 in Europe to Germany and back and so forth? No, we are limited there, so Microsoft has no way to automatically migrate or move your tenant from one place to another. So if you really want to do that, that's something that today we'll have to do manually through a real migration project. So your decision is kind of important when you make it today. If you look at client support, really opted to make sure that only the most secure authentication protocols are available in the Maxif Cloud Germany. This was really a conscious decision to have the most secure one there. As a result, also only Office 2016 or Office Pro Plus will be supported in Germany. Final one is Yammer. I've not explicitly mentioned in the beginning, but Yammer will not be available in Germany when we launch it, and not on the near at least not on the near term. Finally, what about product releases? We mentioned we are aiming for service parity, and that's still the goal, and we're going to keep that as a goal. If we update, if we have a new feature in an existing product, you're likely to have it immediately as well. However, if we introduce a new technology, typically, you'll see new technology pop up in the US first, and then we do the work to make sure that we can distribute it across the world and offer data residency with it. In Germany, we have to do additional work. So you'll see that sometimes we introduce new technology, that there might be a slight delay before it is going from global, where we have it everywhere in the world, from a global service, to make sure, hey, in Germany, we actually need a local service, and it needs to be segregated, and we cannot use all the benefits that we have on our global cloud network. So that's something to keep in mind as well. Okay. So if you look at the summary, that means that customers in Europe or in the European free trade zone will soon have a choice. Now it seems that there's three choices, but there's really only two. It depends on your location. Because with Office 365, in the global data center regions, you're assigned to a region based on where you set up your tenant. So if you set up your tenant in the UK, you're UK-based, you have a UK billing address, you'll probably end up in the UK data center regions, which we launched like 2 weeks ago? That's a good point. Like, we're not there yet, but maybe soon. And then we'll have the Europe regions. If you're signing up for a tenant anywhere else in Europe, you end up in the European data center regions. We have 4 data center locations there. And we adhere to all the requirements that we have there. And data residency, failover, backup, and so on will all remain in Europe. On the other side, your choice will be Microsoft Cloud Germany, with all the considerations we've been mentioning, the users, the partners, and then where am I permitted to store my data, and then the list of additional considerations around pricing, future needs, the clients, no Yammer, if that's an issue, or some.
So that's it. I think the one key thing that we mentioned here was we're starting the preview on, I think, October 12th and 13th,
yep,
around that time in Germany for a small set of customers. And then we will have extensive period of testing over the next couple of months. And then we look to launch this in early calendar year 17, when we'll open it up to all the customers that can purchase this in Germany.
If you have questions, there's mics on the sides. That helps. Otherwise, we can always repeat your question.
Yeah.
There's also some householding items that I have to go through. Like, we really care about your evaluations, so please do submit them. We definitely review them and make sure that we can make this a better session, but also a better conference. But thank you very much, and please ask your questions.
Yeah.
One more question. Who is the
Prafi? T-Systems. Subsidiary of the Deutsche Telekom. We'll support all this. So the question was, what are the license models? We'll support all the same channels and licensing as we have in global cloud. Yeah. CSP will be there. WebDirect is there. Volume licensing, MPSA will all be there. Yes, you can. It's possible to review the data processing agreement. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, Microsoft Azure already launched last week, so there's lots of information which is already there and which is the same for the entire Microsoft Cloud in Germany.
Yeah, it's like Microsoft Online Services Agreement. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Specific to German, we mean. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Question there? What about Office 365 for education? Mm-hmm. Yes, so for education, it's available in Germany as well. There will also be a slight price increase for certain SKUs in the education, like staffs and stuff and so on. It's not 25% because 25 and zero remains zero, but there's a... But we can touch offline on that, and then I can provide that information. Yes. No, so that's kind of outside of, like, the question was, what happens if you're consuming external applications, like maybe a Salesforce or something that's connecting into Office 365. And that's something that's outside of our control, so you're outside of our compliancy boundary, what we would call. So that means that if you do work yourself to pull data outside of Germany and store it wherever you like Salesforce in the US, or I'm not sure where they are, then that's something that we have really no control over if you start calling our APIs and doing stuff with your data. It's the same like with like downloading a file and then doing strange stuff with it. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Good point.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. No. So the question is about support. What happens if the support in Germany needs to escalate, for example, to our engineering team because there's some kind of issue with the servers or whatsoever? In that case, there is an exception that we can really escalate also to outside of Germany. Yep. This is documented. Yes, sorry. Is your question if I'm a multinational and I want to have certain users in Germany and some in?
So I think okay. we have three different models here, or I guess two. One is the global Office 365, where we have you know what it is. Then we have something called a sovereign model, which is basically the German Office 365, where we have Azure AD and everything else within Germany. So there are two ways to get to your question. One is what happens to a multinational that have multiple locations in different countries and they want to keep their data in those particular regions, right? So that is something that we're working on in the future, where you can have some users in Germany and some users in APAC, where the data stays there and things like that. That is one.
Yes.
On the same time. Yeah, different location. But that is coming in the future. I don't have time frame or the dates for you at this point in time. Yeah. But the second thing is whether those regions will have like the kind of data protections that Germany has, where data trustee model and things like that. That second part is something that we are not considering at this point of time.
Yeah.
A simpler way to answer, are we going to build this model in other countries? That is not something that we're not saying no, but we don't have active plans at this
point. So also keep in mind that all the other regions also offer data residency, just the additional layer with the data trustee, which really makes it unique, and the separation in Germany. Yeah.
On what? On the multinational? Not yet.
Mm.
Because we're, to be completely transparent, we're working in, first we're working on that model for in the global environment, where we are having, we want to have, in the global office environment, we want to have a multinational where single tenant, you have different users in different regions. And then we'll look at it, how do we do this in the German context.
Yeah. If you're
quite, okay.
we cannot disclose that information now. Sorry. Not really. You could connect with ExpressRoute into Germany as well.
ExpressRoute is supported in Germany as well. But I do want to mention that we don't normally recommend ExpressRoute for performance reasons. It's more for predictability. In any case, if a customer wants ExpressRoute, they can use it.
Yes, we have connection for ExpressRoute in Germany as well. If you're wondering, tomorrow during the session on data center strategy, we'll also cover how are our clients connecting to data centers and data center regions. And actually, one of the elements there is that it's more important to be closer to our network than it is to be close to a data center. In Germany, it's slightly different. It's important to be close to the German network, so in Germany, of course. And that's why we have that consideration when we think about users, how do they reliably connect to Germany. That might or might not be an issue. But that's tomorrow at 4:30. I'm not exactly sure which room, but it's if you look for data center strategy in your book, then you'll probably find it. Or for my name. Yeah. Commercial play for my session. Sorry for that. Thank
Excellent.
You.
Excellent. thanks. It was a late session. Thanks for
Sticking around. Wow, amazing. Thank you.